Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Comedy Alive for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. By the way, you like the new artwork in the studio here, Teke? We think, man.
I do. Pretty cool. Look at the football and the basketball if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network. A local graffiti guy did this? Who did this?
He is from, we had him on Tops. Yeah, that is pretty sweet right there. I love that. And we had him on Tops, and he did, remember the cleat initiative for all the, with the various charities that the players have?
Yep. They were all cool, different designs, different charity representation for every player. Yeah, it was actually kind of cool.
We had him in studio for Tops. I want to say it was like October-ish. And he just, I mean, he banged those out in how quickly he operates. It's amazing. He just I have his name, and so I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. But he, I reached out to him a while ago. I said, you know what? I wonder if we could get something maybe for our studio for TV purposes.
Spice it up a little bit.
A little bit. And we coordinated, obviously, a lot of help from CBS Sports Network. We appreciate that. The emails, getting the action, getting the ball going. And here we are a couple of months after it. Nice new addition to the studio.
Looks good. Pops in the light too.
Yeah, anytime I can reach out and expand my affinity for graffiti.
Yes,
you know that was a big part of my childhood. So it's definitely a sweet look.
Spruce things up a little bit. Trouble doing that at all?
None at all. You know, I always thought that I have a little trouble embracing a secondary football league.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the XFL when Vince McMahon announced the reboot 2.0.
Yep.
And, you know, it seems like there's a better vision. There's a more narrowed approach to cut off the things that didn't work. And we all know why it failed. We all saw the 30 for 30. So if I'm reticent to embrace a second league, you would think that I'm fully resistant to a third league.
Yeah.
However, and I'll let you get us going here. Yeah. Reading this this new endeavor by Dick Ebersol, Ebersol's son.
Yep, Charlie Ebersol.
He's touching something that right away gives me the belief that it can flourish. But I want to give you first crack.
Yeah,
at
look,
this.
So I know Charlie a little bit because we worked on a couple of projects, and he's a good kid, great kid. His family is unbelievable. I worked for Dick Ebersol when I went with NBC right after I left the NFL. So his family is fantastic, and he knows this intimately because the first XFL. The partner was NBC, was Dick Ebersol.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie did a documentary, a 30 for 30, on the original XFL. So he knows.
Which was phenomenal, by the way.
It was great.
So
but my point to telling you that's part of the story is that he knows intimately why it failed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why we didn't intimately connect with it. And so he's planning another league, which has surprisingly been so under the radar. I mean, this is happening next year. So 2019, this new league, which I don't know if they've named it yet, is going to launch. But the people involved are big time. Obviously, his father will be involved, Dick Ebersol. Bill Polian, who may be losing his mind a little bit, but Bill Polian is involved. Troy Polamalu.
Bill Polian, you know how tall Lamar Jackson is?
Exactly. But Troy Polamalu will be in charge of the players. And the players from this league will come from those young incoming college players in the NFL that don't make it. So they're viable. They get cut from practice squads or they get cut from training camp squads. They still have a desire to be in the game, and they're going to come play in this game. Hines Ward and Justin Tuck, names you should know.
Jared Allen?
Jared Allen is an investor.
Yeah.
But Justin Tuck and Hines Ward are consultants about the game. But what makes it so interesting is all of the business plan beside of it. It's not a one or two year plan. It's a 7 to 10 year plan. He's already got distribution and media partners, including this network here, CBS Sports Network and CBS, to play, distribute this content.
Maybe you'll do some analyst work.
Maybe. You know? They've talked about how they're going to do it. There are going to be less TV commercials, no TV timeouts, mm-hmm. no kickoffs, a 30-second play clock as opposed to a 40-second play clock.
Got to go for a two rather than the extra point.
Mandatory two-point conversion, so there'll be no kickers in this league.
Mm-hmm.
The draft will be regional, so wherever the teams are based out of, it will be players from that region that played either college or maybe even played in the NFL in that region. So it's relevant, and they're known to the people that'll be coming to these games. And the fantasy side of it, I mean, the business plan, I mean, we haven't seen it, but this is just what's been told to us, really by Charlie. We should try to get him on.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely get him on.
It feels like this is a real deal that he's put a lot of thought into. Didn't just throw a media blast out there, but mm-hmm. built it. And then started to leak it out. I like this.
I do. By the way, I don't know if you even caught it yet, but there's a logo, Teak. The Alliance of American Football.
Alliance,
if you're watching
exactly.
this on CBS Sports Network, obviously you can see it. Now, by the way, as long as this league doesn't preempt Teaky and Tierney, let's roll. And we get Teaky in the booth, and
exactly.
I don't know, maybe I'll do play-by-play with you. We'll have a little fun. But there's
that'd
two
be awesome,
that would be awesome. But there's, and we're serious when we say that, by the way.
Exactly.
There's two quotes that let me know right away that their focus is on point.
Mm-hmm.
You reference one of them, the plan, right? This is the exact quote from Charlie. I think where businesses like this fail is that they expect to have ludicrous and unrealistic ticket and media deal projections in year one. Our investors understand this is a 7 to 10 year plan. Mm-hmm. So right away, you know, he's tapping the brakes of expectations. It's a slow incremental growth.
Yeah.
It's like buying, you know, it's like buying a.
But by the way, BT,
it's like a 529 college fund.
Dude,
you're not going to get rich overnight. Look, but down the road, you look up and you have a couple of $100,000 for your kids to go to school.
I know this from starting a business.
Mm.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pivot more than a few times before you find where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It may take 5 or 6 years before you even know what you're doing.
But you can't be afraid of that. You have to embrace that preempt almost prior to it.
As we say in our business, the company I started, at least we failed quickly. Right?
You fail quickly, you
can stay viable.
Let's not drain funds while we're in the process
of
failing. Let's fail
and
then pivot, as you said, and
redisperse
or redirect or you know whatever we got to do. Here's the other quote that's really interesting, and this you know that this sucks me in. And it sucks me in, and it's going to suck in a ton of people, which is why this could really make some money and be truly viable. 59 million people play fantasy. And 20 million people play fantasy football only.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to take advantage of those people who just stop playing when the NFL season ends. Now, if you watch, I believe that this happens on Fox as well, but I know for sure because I can actually hear Jim Nance reading the promos with Tony. You watch the NFL on CBS, and during, you know, just the way the fantasy league is set up, you've got the, you know, you have your draft, and then you have the fantasy draft season doesn't go from one to six. For those who might not know, this is somewhat basic, but just so everybody's so everybody's on the same page. Weeks 1 through 17, that's not the season because then you have no playoffs there. It's really like 1 to 13 or 1 to 14, depending upon the size of your league.
And then you get the postseason at the end.
And then they do the fantasy postseason during the final 3 or 4 weeks of the NFL regular season.
Yes.
And I can still hear Jim Nance reading. You know, hey, by the way, if your fantasy team bombed, I mean, I'm inserting different words here, you know, never too late, you know, join in. Like, you can do fantasy football during the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's a market for this. Now, I've never done that. To me, the whole appeal is getting together with the guys and having a draft night and having a couple of beers and seeing buddies you don't see. It's like a holiday.
But daily fantasy and these ad hoc fantasy games are becoming big.
That's where I was going.
Right.
That's where I was going. And the younger the fan gets, the more options they want to keep their fantasy season alive.
You're right.
You have to embrace it. Charlie is. That's a winning move out of the chute.
I agree.
Right away.
I agree. I mean, this has some viability. And I think the biggest thing that he also, other big point that he made is that the product has to be good. Right? You can't put guys who had no chance of being NFL quality players on the field and expect us as consumers to say, oh, that's the game I like, because you just won't like the game. So the fact that it's players who are going to be in camps that are viable NFL players, they're on the outside of the numbers game, because that's what it becomes. In training camp and at the end of training, it's a numbers game, right? Did you send up the depth chart to, you know, the number 3 tight end, or what, and your team is keeping, you know, or the number four tight end, but your team is keeping three, you're good enough, but you just you lose the numbers game. Mm-hmm. You're still good.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not good enough to make that specific team. Maybe you bounce around to another team, but you fall into limbo when you don't make a team. If he can capitalize on those guys, put a viable product out on the field, because there's a lot of those guys, a ton of those guys. I think the number is 28,000 players are in college football. There's only 1,700 NFL players. I mean, the pool is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can capture that, you can get a viable game. I think that's what the other leagues are also trying to do. But if you have the right kind of money and the right kind of advisors and the right kind of press behind it, perceptually, they'll choose you. They'll choose this new Alliance League. It's Alliance of America Football League, which sounds cool.
It does.
Really does.
It's a cool logo. Maybe Mike could tweet that out. Maybe we can get that on Twitter if you're not watching mm-hmm. us on the tube here. Now, the eight teams in the cities, they won't be announced for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So that will, you know, further cement my conviction of, you know, not that if they're eight bad cities, I don't know that it'll fully change my opinion, but it can only enhance, mm-hmm. I think, how I feel about this if the cities are interesting. So that's coming in a couple of months. The other thing to factor in is the regional aspect to this. Now, these aren't the best examples because one is getting paid like a borderline star, and another one has had some injuries. But I'm going to give you two names because this is where there could be regional appeal to what you said before.
Yeah.
Remember Kellen Moore?
Yeah, of course.
At Boise State?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know off the top of my head what his exact win-loss record was, but if you play 24-30, if he played 50, counting bowl games, conference champion, if he played 52 or 53 college games, I feel like he won 47 or 48. And he shattered records,
yeah.
Right? Now, Kellen Moore, he was actually, he might still be there with the Cowboys.
Yeah,
as like their third string when Tony was still there.
You're right.
And
I think 1 year he was actually the backup.
He was the backup
yep.
before Dak was mm-hmm. there. And, you know, if take a city like, you know, Boise, Idaho, or a state like Idaho and a city like Boise, if you have the Idaho Cowboys, Idaho Stampede, whatever, and Kellen Moore's your quarterback, regionally, there's such pride, they'll go.
Yeah.
And the other example, this is a poor one because he's become a borderline star, we think, Case Keenum.
Yeah.
You know, Case Keenum literally destroyed the NCAA record book with the Cougars. If there wasn't a place for him in the NFL, and let's be honest, a couple of years ago, we really didn't think that there was.
If last year with the Vikings hadn't happened, you're right.
And there's this league, and he's playing for the Houston Stampede, I don't know, or the Houston Astros or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? They'll go watch him.
You're right.
So the regional aspect is interesting.
Yeah.
I love it. I really do. I love it for this network. I mean, it would be great for us.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great for them. I love, and you know what? I love that they're being forthright. They're being transparent. The fantasy aspect to me is paramount. Don't run from it. Embrace it. We'll follow
that's
the story. We'll see what's up.
That's what people want.
Yep, and we'll definitely try to get Charlie on the show pretty soon. All right, coming up next year, let's switch it up. A little college hoops for you. Bruce Weber, Kansas State. Now, they're playing Kentucky. All right, they're playing on Thursday. Kentucky, the fifth seed, and the top four in that region, out. So a tough test for Bruce Weber and the K-State. They were the ninth seed, I believe, Kansas State. But Bruce Weber, fun interview, good team, still alive. We'll talk to him coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney.
This week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, I talked with my fellow UVA running back, Thomas Jones, who had a solid NFL career with the Cardinals, the Jets, the Bears, the Buccaneers were in there early, and the Chiefs. But now, as a successful actor and producer, now, although Thomas explained why he likely wouldn't have been a Cavalier, if it weren't for, you're looking at him, yours truly.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. Obviously, we put college hoops on pause a little bit because mm-hmm. A little respite here as teams travel. We get ready to gear it up, get set for the Sweet 16. But at least for the show, that respite is up because we got a chance to get Bruce Weber on the show. Of course, the head coach of Kansas State. A nice, lengthy run. I want to say right around 10 years with Illinois before his current job. And I know they're leaving for Atlanta in about 30 minutes or so. That's the site of the Sweet 16 where they are. It's a tough challenge, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And Coach Weber's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, congrats on the Sweet 16 bid. How you feeling today, buddy?
Thank you. And we've, you know, obviously you feel great. You know, to get through those first two rounds, it's not very easy. I mean, just look at all the good teams. Obviously, Virginia, you know, the number one seed. Not
hey, watch
there.
Out. I'm an alum, Coach. I'm an alum there.
No, I mean, I feel bad for Tony, to be honest. I'm a good friend of his. But I mean, it's just, and that's what I told our kids. You know, the Michigan State, I mean, you just think of all the Carolina, all these good teams that that aren't playing, and it's not easy to win games in the NCAA. So we're excited. It's been a little hectic. You finish the game, you get back to the hotel about 12:30 in the morning. You got to eat, and by the time you kind of settle down, it's about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and get up in the morning yesterday and fly back on spring break and, you know, let the guys rest a little bit. And then we had a team meeting and really did our laundry, had practice this morning, now get on the plane.
That's right, crazy. Yeah. Right back to the grind.
Supposed to be a respite, BT, you mean. It's not really.
Yeah, by the way, if that sounds like a complaint, it's not.
No, not a complaint.
I know.
Just happy to be part of it. And obviously, it was a nice play Friday, but we're just happy to be in it.
No, I got. And listen, by the way, beating Creighton in the 8-9 matchup is no easy task. That is a well-coached team with some shooters and a really great guard, a future NBA guard. McDermott's got a good program. But, Bruce, be honest, because we know we have a ton of coaches on the show, and sometimes we get dealt the mantra, you know, the pre-made answer, one day at a time, blah, blah, blah. When the brackets came out and you looked at them, as a coach, I know your eye's going to wander a little bit and see what's down the road. Let's keep it real. But in what percentage, and the answer is really none, but I want to hear it from you, did you think that UMBC would have been in your path for the right to get to the Sweet 16?
Well, I would say 0% or 99.8 or whatever. But, we did assign a coach to them. He might have watched a game or two, but I promise you we didn't have a bunch of info. And even at halftime, I just, you know, they were hanging in there. And then all of a sudden it gets to 8 and then 10. And I kept thinking, 8-minute mark, they'll still catch up. But it didn't change. In fact, it went the other way. And that's a good team. And, I've been there. I was a Southern Illinois coach. You know, we had good quickness. We could pressure people. We disrupted people. We beat a Georgia who was a 3 seed. We beat, you know, Texas Tech. You know, we took some other people down to the wire, and that team, you know, they can make some threes, but their defense really disrupts you. As I said before, I love Tony Bennett. I think he's great. And obviously, UMBC was the better team on the court that night.
They were great. We're talking to Bruce Weber, who's been great as well. Two wins as they're in the Sweet 16 playing Kentucky on Thursdays with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Coach, you look at all of the upsets that are happening, and you know some of them were catastrophic, like Syracuse. Why did Syracuse was the last team in the tournament, and they beat Michigan State, as you mentioned. Clemson just destroyed Auburn. It feels like this year specifically is a tournament where anything goes. What message do you give your kids knowing that? Is it we can go do the impossible or people think is the impossible coming from the 9? Or we also have to watch our backs because anything can happen?
Well, when we were playing 16, we had to watch our backs.
Yeah.
But, you know,
they
now,
held it close for a while.
You know, now it's the other way. We can just, you know, we told our guys, you know, they wrote history. And when they beat Virginia, we could write history because no 9 has ever beaten a 16 to go to the 16. So we did, you know, we wrote our own history. And now anything can happen. I mean, it's true. I mean, it's so obvious. It's always happened in the NCAA tournament. Usually, the most of the upsets are in that first game. And, you know, once in a while you get somebody moving on the George Masons, the VCUs, but you know, it's why everyone watches March Madness and there's so much excitement and because truly anything can happen and you definitely witnessed it last weekend.
You know, Bruce, here's the harsh reality of the task at hand, and certainly I'm giving you guys a chance to win this game. I'm not trying to position it any other way.
You might be the only one.
Hey, listen, they're young. That's a young team right there. They can get a little skittish at the end. I'm going to give you guys a chance, but what you're going to have to deal with is what's going to be a largely pro-Kentucky crowd. Mm-hmm. Just looking at the mileage, I believe your campus is right around 920 or so miles down to Atlanta, Georgia. They're about 380 or so. That's going to be heavy Kentucky contingent. That's going to be tough. How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, we played at Kansas. We played at, you know, Iowa State. We played at some of the best venues in the country. And, you know, we've dealt with that. And we told the guys we knew it's going to be – it was a home game for UMBC the other night. I'm telling you, people, those Carolina fans, I looked up there and, like, these people are, you know, throwing things at us and yelling at us like we were villains or something. You know, so we had everybody against us the other night. I'm sure I'm sure it's going to be a pro-Kentucky crowd. We're hoping that the neutral people or the Loyolas or Nevadas might cheer for us a little bit. But, you know, we just got to deal with it. This is why you play in the Big 12. You know, you're at West Virginia. You're at Lawrence and Allen Fieldhouse. And you're ready, you know, hopefully ready to, you know, anything you can deal with. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I think we can guard them. Can we rebound? They have such great length. And then can we move them on offense? We can't. If we have to play chess where the pieces don't move very, they're bigger than us and they're going to block our shot. But if we move the pieces around and not, you know, get things going in different ways, I think we can, you know, compete with them. And, you know, it would be nice to have Dean Wade, our best guy, our all-conference guy. We're hoping to have him a little bit. But, you know, we've had him for 3 games in a row. We haven't had him, and we've been okay. And we'll have to make some shots. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned playing in the Big 12. It was the best conference this year, obviously. Four of your teams are still left in the Sweet 16. What is that? How did that tough competition, every game, there was no easy ones. How did that prepare you for this moment?
Well, I think it does. That's what I was kind of alluding to, not only the venues, but just the quality of teams. We had 9 teams in the tournament. I mean, you really had 19, 2 in the NIT and 7. You know, in the NCAA, and all those two in the NIT were probably talked about as, you know, some of the last teams out of the tournament. So every game you had a grind. You had different styles. And even our last place, Iowa State, they beat West Virginia. They beat Texas Tech. I mean, they won some games. Now they had some injuries at the end and ended up under 500. But, you know, it tested you every day. And you're talking not only good teams, good venues, but some of the best coaches in the country, you know, older coaches, you know, from Coach Kruger to Coach Huggs. I mean, these are Hall of Fame guys, Bill Self. I mean, you got, you know, some great coaches and, you know, hopefully it prepared our guys, you know, we'll see. We got, you know, we got to come to play Thursday night at 9:37.
No doubt. We'll be watching. And you mentioned Wade before. Is he definitely playing? I just want to circle back to that real quick.
We're gonna give him a little practice tomorrow and see how he feels. And, you know, he's been, you know, kind of shooting. He's had some better days since Saturday, Sunday. The pain has kind of gone away. And we're hoping for the best. We say a lot of prayers every night. I promise you that.
Yeah, no doubt. He's 6'10", so that's some size. Right. Certainly. Not to mention your leading scorer. Coach, great accomplishment. I know you want to do more. We'll be watching. Good luck against Coach Cal. Have a great time against Kentucky. Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Be well, Coach.
You got it, buddy. There he is. Yeah, I mean, they're a low-scoring team. Mm. I think they only have 3 guys in double figures, but
what'd they score, 55, I believe, in the win? Yeah. Against UMBC, it wasn't a ton,
but no, definitely. But they're gonna have to probably score
50. It wasn't even 55.
Was it 50?
50-43?
Oh yeah, it was that low. Good job, CBS Sports Network, putting that up. So many games you almost forget every score.
Yeah, right.
But they're not. There's no way they're gonna hold Kentucky. I don't think.
50,
I was gonna say south of 60. Yeah. I think they're gonna probably have to overachieve statistically a little bit. Can they get it into the mid? Can they keep it in the mid 60s? That's where I'd give them the chance. You start getting north of that, it's going to be a little tough. Mm. But that's why you play. I mean, we didn't think half of these teams would still be here.
You're right.
We didn't think Kentucky would be a 5 seed coming into the season.
You're right.
You never know. All right, Teak, we'll branch out to the rest of the games. 4 games on Thursday, 4 on Friday. Sweet 16 is upon us. Seth Davis will join us coming up next. But first up, here's the update. Here's the update from Ack Rich. Time now for the players. I just tried to block Tiki's garbage can layup as
like,
I was getting ready to do my
3
read.
3 feet away.
But I was getting ready to do my read.
I know, but I saw your hand coming down. Yeah, it actually disrupted my shot, and I missed it. Nice run out, BT.
Oh, man. You got to close. You got to close on that shooter. Time for the Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Take a look at somebody who got it done and so many options. How about Syracuse's O'Shea Brissett Bolin? The freshman forward stepped up big. When Coach Boeheim and the Orange needed him most, he averaged nearly 18 points and 10 rebounds and played it all but 3 minutes in the Cuse's wins over Arizona State in the first 4. Number 6, TCU, that's Jamie Dixon's team in the first round. The number 3, Michigan State, Tom Izzo, Syracuse. They just, until they are in the coffin, they are never dead.
You're
when
right.
You don't think they have a good team, they do.
You're right.
Weird. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger, the products and services that you need. When you need them, Granger's got your back to help you and your facility run on time. Granger, for the ones who get it done. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. As We move into Thursday's four matchups, Friday as well. Sweet 16 will very quickly morph into the Elite Eight. And before you know it, we'll be down in San Antonio. The entire show getting ready to bring you Tiki and Tierney from Radio Row. We always look forward to that. And we always look forward to talking chop with our next guest. Last time we had him in studio last week and talked about his book, which is terrific. But now we can make a little fun of him because a little bit too quick to reach for that Sharpie, Seth Davis, huh?
Happens.
Well, it does. But I wanted to ask you this, and Seth is with us now here on Tiki and Tierney, and the Sharpie referenced Virginia, you know, and you got hit on Twitter for it. It's all good. But is that the quickest? Because I've never seen you do it that quick. Was that the quickest you ever went for the Sharpie?
You know, the last couple of years, I usually like to look for a 1-1-16 game and do it right at the tip. So, hey, listen, as I like to say, there's no slow way to drive off a cliff. Right? Pedal to the metal. And I also, you know, it's interesting because I've been having this conversation, like debate with my friend Clark Kellogg for a number of years. You know, I've really felt for a long time that it was just a matter of time before 16 defeated a 1. We had this debate on the air about a month ago, and he felt like his line was not going to happen in our lifetime. And I actually picked 10. I do this little upset underdog lock in the studio, and I picked 10 as my lock over Kansas, mostly because 10, I'd seen some of these analytics guys, these guys are a lot smarter than the three of us, show the numbers on why 10 was like the best 16 seed of all time. So, I think Kansas is a really good team. I think Virginia is a very good team. But, yeah, so, I wasn't shocked that I felt like it was going to happen at some point, but I certainly would have never, ever anticipated that it would come by a 20-point margin. But if you think about it, that's actually more fitting because the circumstances of a one-and-done where you lose and your season is over, I mean, the pressure on those Virginia players was so enormous. You could just see it completely – I mean, they choked. It's not mean to say it. It's a fact. They absolutely choked it away. They played against a good team that was hot, and history was made. It was delightful.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, look, it's my alma mater. I followed them closely. They were great as a whole. They lose one piece, and they choked. But Ryan Odom, the head coach at UMBC – I mean, the ties to Virginia are just overwhelming. I mean, it was kind of fitting that he was the guy to beat him. But when you look at a squad like that and you look at some of these other upsets that have happened in the tournament this year, can you pinpoint one reason why this could happen? Because UMBC, it wasn't – I mean, Virginia choked, but Virginia choked playing the game that they always play. UMBC was lights out, you know what I mean? So and it's happened a lot. Clemson scored 84 points on Auburn. Right, Michigan State loses to Syracuse. All of these things that seem improbable seem to be happening this year.
Well, as I've often said, you know, the only thing that's thoroughly predictable about the NCAA tournament is its unpredictability, and it's just the nature of the beast. I mean, we really do see this every year. I mean, I've seen some of these numbers where if you total up the number of seeds or like the average number of seeds in the Sweet 16, it's pretty much on par with what we've seen in the last several years. Now, you know, people want to say that there's more parity, but, you know, yes and no. I mean, I think that fans understand that there just is not that much of a difference between the Loyolas of the world and the Tennessees of the world. There's just not. And so if you don't have a good game, and anyone who makes the NCAA tournament, it's not just that they're a good team, they're playing well. Like UMBC beat Vermont on a late three-pointer by Jairus Lyles. Because they're playing well. So you can say what they did over the course of the season, but they got to the tournament because they're playing well. Loyola won its first game because it's, you know, had a great season playing well. So if you're not at your best, you're not going to beat these guys. And then, you know, going back to Virginia, you know, they had a very key injury to this redshirt freshman, DeAndre Hunter, who's their best pro prospect, and it's very important to do, their most versatile defender. He was really the guy on that team who was best able to go get a bucket, you know, on his own. And so do they, if they have DeAndre Hunter, do they win the game? Maybe, probably, who knows, but it is a very highly pressurized situation, and these are college kids, and the vast majority of them are not good enough to be professionals. So once that momentum starts, you know, choking you off, it's hard to function.
Yeah, it's uphill at that point. Seth Davis is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Seth, there's a couple of number ones left, Nova and Kansas, both on the right side of the brackets. Duke is in Kansas, though, in Kansas Midwest bracket. And when you look at how these things could converge together, there's a couple of the expected ones there that could get to the Final Four. Who's unexpectedly going to be in the Final Four in your mind?
Well, you know,
It's hard to say, Teak. I mean, three of all the predictions I've gotten wrong, and there have obviously been many of them, three of my Final Four teams are still in this thing. I had Villanova, Duke, Michigan, and Virginia was my – So it's hard to say that, like, if Kentucky gets to the Final Four,
that's not expected. But I'm thinking more like a Texas A&M, because those two big men were dominant this past weekend. So, I mean, is that enough of a factor when they beat UNC, obviously? Is that enough of a factor to get them through against a team like Michigan?
No question. Texas A&M, I mean, obviously, look, any team looks good when they're winning by 20.
Yeah.
But they have had a very odd season. You know, they started off the season, they were a lot of people's pick, including my own, to win the SEC. They beat West Virginia in the season opener over in Germany at the start of the year. It looked terrific. Then they had all kinds of injuries and suspensions, and one guy would come back and another guy would leave. And they brought in this graduate transfer, Dwayne Wilson from Marquette, as their point guard, and then he went down to a season-ending knee injury in February, and they replaced him with this freshman, T.J. Starks, who it took him a couple of weeks, but is really playing great basketball. And now they have everybody else in place, healthy, and a couple of guys up front, including Robert Williams, who to me is like another Aggie, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Very, very scary team. I mean, they got some serious – and Gonzaga, by the way, has got some dudes on that team. So I don't think of Florida State in a class – but, you know, any of those three, you could almost put them in a drum right now and pick out who's going to win that one. I'll stay with Michigan because they're my original pick, but, boy, A&M looked really impressive.
They did. You know, Seth, I want to step away from the games for a sec. There, I'm sure you saw the story, and it's kind of been out there for a couple of days, but now we're actually getting tangible numbers here with Danny Hurley, Rhode Island, Pitt reportedly in excess of $3 million a season. URI hasn't gotten to the table yet. I'm sure they'll make an aggressive push for whatever they can afford based on where they are, what they generate. UConn is clearly in the mix, but their identity's taken a hit since the defection to the Big East. It's my thought. This is just my opinion, but I can't identify the team to help finish my thought. If I'm Hurley, I would stay at Rhode Island. I don't love where UConn is right now. I don't like at all where Pitt is right now. I think there'll be a more appealing job next year. Help us. Where could that school possibly be? What could be a better fit next season if Hurley stays at Rhode Island for one more?
Well, he's in a great situation because he has a very good job. It's in a solid league, and he's certainly got equity and job security there. The two things to keep in mind are, first of all, that the reason they were so good this year is because they had two senior guards who were leaving. So he's the only one who really knows, you know, in terms of what he's got coming back, what he's got coming in, you know, how things look moving forward. And I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard to turn down that money, you know. And the reality is you can say, well, UConn is this or Pitt is that. Both programs present their challenges. But anywhere that you're going to go, I mean, there's a reason those jobs are open. So this is why I have said, by the way, for many years, the thinking was it's better to go into a situation that's down, because therefore you don't know where to go but up. You don't have to live up to the guy who came before, where they, you know, the job is open because they fired a coach for losing. I think it's actually better to go into a situation where, like Steve Prohm did at Iowa State following Fred Hoiberg, where the job is open because the guy won so much he got hired away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not clear. I mean, look at Kevin Stallings. It's not clear,
you
know, how long those fans will wait on you if you lose for a couple of years. So, I mean, the reality is UConn and Pitt can pay Danny Hurley a lot more than Rhode Island can pay him. And anywhere that he goes is probably going to involve a lengthy rebuild. You get a good – I mean, these buyouts that people are offering are crazy. You see what they're paying Tubby Smith and Kevin Stallings when you fire the guy before you've even paid your next guy. So you get a long-term contract, and you know that you have a few years to build the thing. Who knows what happens a year from now? URI could be really bad. And Danny's not such a hot prospect, so it's real hard to turn down that money. I would expect he's going to go somewhere.
You know, Seth, can you give us any clarity about what you think will happen at UConn? Kevin Ollie fired for cause, even though they were bad. The fans started to turn on them, obviously, at the end. We can only assume that it's related to the FBI, NCAA probes and investigations that are going on. But Kevin Ollie is not going to just back away and say, yeah, I don't want that $10 million. I mean, that complicates who's coming in behind him, correct?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, again, you can rationalize that by saying, hey, that's between UConn and Kevin Ollie. I just know what they're paying me, you know? So, I mean, the only assumption that I'm making about UConn right now is they don't want to have to pay Kevin Ollie's money.
Yeah.
So to me, From the way outside looking in, it was very manufactured by saying you're firing a guy for cause. First, you know, there's a separate investigation. It has nothing to do with the FBI scandal, as far as I know, that into some recruiting or whatever. I don't know where that is or if they – but it can't just be the beginning of an investigation. There has to be a finding.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes it – that's the level of cause.
Which why the timing is odd.
I don't know. UConn's just trying to get out of paying his money. That's all it is.
Yeah. Sounds like
can't get mad at him for that. Although a deal's a deal.
Man, the guy money. He sucked for the last couple of years. They sucked for the last couple of years. Fire him. It's fine.
That's a tough job. I mean, even though Calhoun's long gone, and that's a big shadow. That's a tough job.
He did win
a
national championship, though.
I understand. So, Seth, I wanted to throw this by here to bring it back to the game. Seth Davis with us here on Tiki and Tierney. We know about Villanova. Obviously, great pedigree. A blue blood now. Jay Wright, national championship. Best in nation. West Virginia, great defense. Press Virginia. We know about Bobby Huggins. Kansas. Purdue has gotten a lot of national love this year. I feel like of the 16 teams that remain, I feel like we gloss over Clemson maybe the most. Do they have a shot to actually get to San Antonio? Can they win a couple of more games?
Well, they got a bigger shot than Auburn, so you start there. I mean, to me, you're in the game. Of course you have a shot. They're a pretty good team, you know. I mean, Clemson is like a really good mid-major team, and I say that as a compliment. I mean, they're – you know, kind of what we were talking about earlier. I mean, they're older. They play together. They're really efficient. They're a very good defensive team. They actually lost their best inside player in February, and they kind of sputtered a little bit at that point. But, you know, they have a guard named Gabe DeVoe who's just making every shot. So, absolutely, they have a puncher's chance. I just think Kansas, you know, Kansas has played in a lot of close games this year. They've had numerous comebacks to win on the road. You know, so, you know, they got into that game with Seton Hall. It was pretty close throughout that second half. They could never really put Seton Hall, and they were never uncomfortable. I just think, you know, that's a great thing for the postseason. Plus, you know, they have their best big man, Udoka Azubuike, who sprained his knee. They were kind of using him for limited minutes. He played more against Seton Hall. Now he's got 5 days to rest and recover. So I think he'll have more minutes. So, of course I expect Kansas to win the game, but, you know, Clemson doesn't have to believe that, and they have every reason to believe they can win this thing.
Seth, you're teaming up with Dove Men Plus Care to illuminate the impact of caring fans with the Real Strength Manifesto. We had David Robinson in last week. He talked about it a little bit. Shane Battier's done this as well. Tell us about this a little bit.
It was a really great project that Dove Men Care signed me on for, where I got to talk to David and Shane and also guys like Trey Burke, Doug McDermott, Jameer Nelson, Marcus Johnson, Danny Manning, and really talked about they want to come up with something that celebrates the fan experience, both as a fan, that's all those guys, you know, you grow up, with the guys on your bedroom wall, a poster on your wall, and then later in life, Dickie Barber can relate to this. You're the guy in the poster,
yeah,
and what that means to you and that relationship between, being an athlete and a fan and how much that means to the athletes now. So we came up with this Real Strength Manifesto. It's up on DoveMenCare.com/NCAA, and it's a very cool celebration of the fan experience, which is really what the NCAA tournament is all about. It just makes effort. Whether you know a lot about college basketball or care a lot about sports, it's hard not to get sucked into the drama and excitement and the storylines of the tournament. Even me, covering it in the studio, I'm a fan at heart.
Yeah,
so,
awesome.
DoveMenCare.com/NCAA is where you can find it.
Seth, nice. Good stuff. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Be good, Seth.
And the book, by the way, we had him in last week, Getting to Know Us. He sat down with a bunch of different coaches. If you like Seth on air and you like him as a writer, which obviously many of you do, the book is really solid.
Agreed.
Really good contents. Hey, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all. Get it all at GEICO.com. LeBron dominates. Love is back. Better without Tyronn Lue. Let's react to last night. Interesting game against the Bucks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.